And whatever it is you need to do, I hope you've been in your Bible today. I hope you're in your Bible every day. Can I just encourage you? You don't have to read four chapters a day. Don't feel like you've got to read through the Bible in a year if you don't want to. Don't feel like you have to read one chapter a day, but read something. Here's what I tell people. Read until God speaks to you and then stop. When God draws, is that right? Is that how you do it, Laura? When God gets your attention with a verse, sometimes it could just be a word. It could be a phrase. It could be something, it could actually be something unrelated to what you're reading, but something in what you're reading triggers something that God or the Holy Spirit brings your mind to. That's where I would stop and just sit there, and the Bible word is meditate. Just think about what that is saying and what God wants to say to you, and that's just a great thing to do. Now, let's get into our study. We've been talking about, I've started a series of discussions here called Questions of Our Day. Today, we're going to start off with a little fun here. Well, I don't know if it'll be, I think it might be fun, maybe not. But we're going to have a little trivia here. So we're talking about today about the things we say. We're talking about how we communicate and the words that are used. We're going to be looking here in just a little bit at the First Amendment of our Bill of Rights. And so hopefully many have that memorized. We're going to get into speech today, but I thought we'd start with some quotes. I thought we'd start with some quotes of some fairly modern-day public figures, and I'm going to put the quote up and see if you can tell who said it, okay? So let's take a look at the first one. A change is brought about because ordinary people do extraordinary things. Does anybody know who said that? Barack Obama said that. President Barack Obama said that. All right, how about the next one? Next one says, there can be no peace without justice, no justice without truth, and no truth unless someone stands up and tells you truth. Who said that? Nice and loud. It was not Abraham Lincoln. Hence, I said modern day public officials, but I guess for some, it might be modern day. Louis Farrakhan said that. You know who Louis Farrakhan is? Well, he's the whack job that is in charge of the Islamic, whatever. What's it called? The Nation of Islam? Yeah. So, you know, he made that statement. Isn't that an amazing thing to be talking about peace? See, we're talking about speech here. We're talking about freedom of speech and how it can be used. Can be used for good, can be used for bad. Let's move on then. How about the next one? Let's see, is that the next one? No, I think we skipped one. There we go. Our country is being run by incompetent people. Who said that? Every American since President Trump said that. Yeah, I believe that's probably when he was running for office, okay? How about this one? I accept that people are going to call me awful things every day, and I will always defend their right to do so. Who said that? Nope, that was actually also President Trump. That was Barack Obama. I thought you may think that was President Trump. That was actually Barack Obama who said that also. All right, here we go. Here's another one. So UPS and FedEx are doing just fine. This is actually, I'm going to tell you who this one is. This was also President Obama. He made this statement when he was proposing a government takeover of healthcare. Okay? So keep that in mind. UPS and FedEx are doing just fine. It's the federal post office that's always having problems. Now, if you think about that, it was not the best argument to make for the government takeover of healthcare. Okay? But I wanted you to see a balance here. You know, some good things, some bad things, some dumb things. Everybody has done that. All right, how about the next one? The Jews don't like me, so they call me Hitler. Well, that's a very good name. Hitler was a very great man. That was also Louis Farrakhan. We're going to talk about freedom of speech here in just a little bit, folks. I'm doing this all on purpose. I'm just throwing some things out. See, these are things that we are allowed to say. That doesn't mean they're good to say. That doesn't mean they're right to say. But there's good and there's bad. Look, was the earlier quote from Louis Farrakhan a good one? Right? There can be no truth, no justice without truth, no truth unless somebody stands up and says so. That's something any of us could have said, right? Well, but truth, well, there's only one truth, right? He didn't know what the truth was. But my point is, we didn't know. You know, you would never think that the same person who said there can be no justice without truth, no truth without, or no peace without justice, no justice without truth, and no truth unless somebody stands up and tells the truth. You wouldn't think the same person could then say that next thing about Hitler being such a great man, right? How does out of the same mouth, how do those two statements come? You see the point? This is why I'm doing this. I just want us to kind of process some things. Okay, next. How about this? He's a war hero because he was captured. I like people that weren't captured. This was somebody who made this comment about, yeah, this was President Trump. This was not his best. He made this about Senator McCain, okay? Now, there are plenty of things he could have picked about McCain to talk about. That was not a good one. That was just a poor choice. But again, do you see what I'm trying to be fair, and I'm trying to be balanced here, and fair and balanced. Never mind. So here we go. What's the next one? I want to do these quickly, but I wanted to just put these up because we're trying to see what I'm trying to get at here is it's hard to know. Yeah. It's hard to know just when you just lift a quote out who said it because especially in the case of politicians, they speak to whatever crowd's in front of them, right? Whatever that crowd wants to hear, usually, all right? So who said what Washington needs is adult supervision? Who said that? You said that? That was also President Obama that said that before he was elected. Number nine, we need to address the issue of immigration. Of undocumented people, we certainly do not want any more coming in. Who said that? President Trump, President Trump, President Trump, President Trump. Nancy Pelosi said that. Did you know that? Back when it was popular. This was back in 2007, I think, when the next president coming in had an agenda that he was going to do something about that. And of course, you know, it's not trendy anymore, but I just thought it was very interesting. I knew you would think that would be that. Doesn't that sound like something President Trump would say? But it's like the anti-Trump who said this. So this is why it's so hard. Look, this. Well, it's true. It's not. Look, actually, people who like Nancy Pelosi would take that as a compliment. Okay, so and vice versa. So again, we have these different angles of seeing things. But I wanted you to see that. When we lift a quote out, this is something that somebody, she probably wouldn't want this put out here today, but taking the exact opposite stance. People do change. This is why we need to be careful about what we say. We need to think before we speak. And it doesn't, not just if we're in front of news cameras. I'm talking about if we're in front of our kids. I'm talking about if we're in front of the children downstairs. If I'm talking about what I say in front of you. Now, I know, I get it. Don't. I said it, okay? I know I need to be more careful. But we do. We need to be more careful with what we say. Let me give you another one. Next one here. This is hilarious. Unemployment, this is recent, very recent. Unemployment benefits are creating jobs faster than any other program. I can't even say it without laughing. That also was Nancy Pelosi. So, the point is, you know, words have power. The things we say, we have a right to say almost anything we want to in America. The question is, does God say we have a right to say anything we want to? You know, forget about what political side you're on. You know, I've given you good and bad examples from both sides tonight, right? So we need to be focused not so much on what is pleasing. You know, if this is a particular political crowd, these families right here, I shouldn't be worrying about what they think if I'm trying to preach truth. I should be worrying about what God says. You know, and vice versa. Okay, and so as Christians, we have a different responsibility, a totally different responsibility than the world has with regard to what it says. But even the world, even politicians ought to be careful what they say, but more so Christians and how we use that. Let me give you one last one. Here we go. One last one. Here's what it is. Is that all? I didn't give you another one? Yeah, it's the next thing. That right there. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Who said that? God said that. God said that. God said, let me give you some real good advice. Let me give you some really, really, really good advice. Every man should be swift to hear. Have you been in anybody been in an argument recently? You want to admit it? Come on, cowards. Alan, thank you, buddy. I appreciate you. Alan, be honest now. If you're in an argument, when you're in the last argument you were in, would you say that you were swift to hear? In other words, were you like, I am really going to focus on what this person is saying to me because I really want to understand. I want to understand where you're coming from. I really want to understand. So please take your time. Say whatever. I am so dialed in on what you're saying because I really care about what you think about this. So please take all the time you want and explain thoroughly your position to me. Is that what you did? Yeah, whatever. See, we're not swift to hear. We're not dialed in on hearing. We're not listening most of the time. When someone, if Roy and I are arguing, which we often do, okay, and he's talking, I'm kind of listening, but you know what I'm listening for? Now, be honest. What am I listening for? That's it. I'm listening for him to say something that I can turn around on him. And I'm listening for him to say something stupid or that I think is stupid or wrong. Or I'm looking for him to give me an opening so I can come back in with an uppercut. That's what we do when we're upset. That's what we do when we're talking about things. And God said, that's not how I want you to be. I want you to be swift to hear, slow to speak. Slow to speak. Do you think that some of those quotes that I put up there that were absolutely dumb, no matter who said them, do you think maybe later on they might have looked back and said, wish I hadn't said that? You ever said that? Yeah. You ever said that to yourself? I wish I hadn't said that. I wish I hadn't done that. And we wouldn't if we were swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. So watch. But how do most of our arguments go? How do most of exercising our free speech, how does it usually go? We're not swift to hear, we're not slow to speak, and we're definitely not slow to wrath. We get ticked off very quickly, very easily, and we're on the attack. And that's, unfortunately, that's not how things should go. So I just wanted you to see, God had the best quote, don't you? I think so. I feel bad for those of you who think that God did not have the best quote. Anyway, let's get into today's study then. So last week we talked about Adam and Eve. We looked at the third chapter of the book of Genesis and the fourth chapter a little bit, and really we really broke apart what was taking place there. We were looking at Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve had this we looked at the questions that were being asked. We looked at the very first question that was ever recorded in Scripture. Does anybody remember what that was? What was the first question? It was asked by the serpent. Yea, hath God said. The first question ever asked that's recorded in Scripture was by the serpent questioning God's word, questioning God's authority. The second question posed was God. Does anybody remember the second question? Where are you? God said, where are you, Adam? And I believe what he was really saying, as we looked at it, he was saying, where do you stand on this, Adam? So the serpent has called my word into question. Where do you stand on it? What do you believe about it? You know, he would look at each one of us individually. Michael, what do you believe about what God had to say about this? God was questioning Adam and saying, what do you believe? And then thirdly, the third question was God also, and God said, who have you been listening to? Who told you that you were naked? And this is what we're going through in our world right now. God's word's being questioned, or his authority's being questioned. And the second thing is, God is, I think, looking down at us, and he's asking us where we stand on some things. Do we know where he stands on some things? And then who are we listening to? So the big takeaway was this. God has addressed the issues of our day, maybe not directly, but he has addressed them. And the question is, the big takeaway is, you know, he's going to hold us accountable whether we know them or not. I'm going to say that again. God is going to hold, God held Adam and Eve both accountable, yes? Eve was deceived. Adam was not. They both got held accountable the same. He said, just because you don't know what I said, that's your fault. I think that's kind of paraphrasing. God saying, if you don't know what I said about it, that's your fault, because I wrote it all down. I had men pen it and put it in book form, and I gave it to you. So if you don't know where I stand on something, it's not because I haven't given you enough information. It's because you have not studied it. And that's what we're doing. We're studying together. We're looking together. We're trying to understand where God is coming from and what he thinks about things. So the fundamental question we looked at as we kind of wrap up last week was this, is am I responsible for the welfare of others? We were talking about the next question we looked at was Cain. He said, am I my brother's keeper? And in our world, that means, am I responsible? Am I responsible for John? John is a you're not kind of retired, right? But let's just say you're retired today. So am I responsible for John? He is a citizen of the United States. He is a member of my church. He is at an age where he should be able to stop working. Am I responsible for his welfare to some degree? Yes or no? Absolutely, I am. Absolutely, I am. That's part of the taxes that I pay go to help him with Social. You get Social Security, right? Yeah, and it is my responsibility if we're going to be a part of a system. He's also my church member. How about Laura? This is easier. Now why? You just like Laura better? You're his wife. I tried to stick up for you, John. Wait, but biblically, now biblically speaking, we're more accountable to take care of Laura, aren't we? Because she's a widow. Beverly's a widow. We're responsible for that. And so on. That's why we're trying to get Howard to marry her so we get her off our... get her onto somebody else. Can't carry that dead weight around anymore. I'm just kidding. Look, so we are responsible for our fellow man. And he said that. He said, love God, love your neighbor. Now, that's it. We got to move on. Here we go. So tonight's question, really, it's mainly, you know, and the reason I began with that, am I responsible for others? Because it's going to work its way into every conversation we have for the next few weeks and months. Because tonight, I have to ask myself, in my speech, in my freedom of speech, which we're going to look at, that the government has said we have the right to do, am I still responsible, though, for everybody else? Am I responsible for the things that I say publicly or privately for other people? And that's what we want to talk about tonight. All right, so let's take a look at the First Amendment of our Constitution. Again, this is not going to be a history class or anything like this. But by the way, this is something that's very, very important. It should be important to every American and every one of God's people. Okay? This is the first one. This is numero uno in what our forefathers thought. If we got to protect our individual rights, here's the first one. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. We're not actually going to go to this one because it sort of will get into everything else. Or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. So we already know this. We're all on the same page about this. Here we go, though. Or abridging the, look at the next three words, freedom of speech. Freedom of speech. Let's translate that. Your freedom to speak whatever you want to say. My freedom to speak publicly without fear of being arrested, without fear of being of my government coming after me for something that I've said. Okay, freedom of speech or of the press. That's, they didn't have social media back then. Or the right of the people. Did you know that word was in there? Peaceably to assemble and to petition the government. Look, do Americans have the right to protest when they think something's wrong? You better believe it. Better believe it. Public protest is one of the very first things that our founding fathers said Americans have the right to do. To publicly protest. Peacefully. But wait, And again, we're going to get into this, but remember also, what's the fundamental question? Am I not also responsible for other people? If I choose to protest, am I responsible? Do I have freedom of speech to protest peacefully? Yes or no? But am I still responsible for the shopkeeper who owns the store that I stand in front of? Am I responsible for his welfare? Yeah. According to God. So this is what we're talking about tonight. And to petition the government for redress of grievances. Do you think that the people who are protesting right now, are they asking our government to change some things? Are they saying we have a grievance against the way things are being done? Sure they are. Sure they are. That's the whole point, right? You're protesting because you feel like something's wrong. And a public assembly is petitioning the government to address that, all right? To recognize and agree with you and make some changes. Now, the question is all that being done the proper way? And obviously, there's going to be people come down on both sides. What we're looking the most about is, what does God have to say about it? So before we even get into all those opinions, look, we all have opinions, yes? But can I challenge all of us to wait until after we find out God's opinion to form ours? We should get God's opinion first. Because have you ever had a hard time changing your opinion about something? Do you like it when people come up to you and take on the things you feel the strongest? Okay, Harold? Harold? Harold, I was going to say gray-headed Harold, full head of hair, that's both of them. Front Harold. not Jackson. Good grief. There are too many Harolds here. Jordan. Harold Jordan. You need to understand this. Ford is better than Chevy. Harold. I'm telling you. Harold, you need to change your mind about that. He said, I'm out of here. Get your purse, AJ. We can't take this preacher anymore. Heard enough heresy. No, am I ever going to convince him that his opinion is wrong? Ever? I mean, he's going to get to heaven, and the Apostle Paul's going to tell him the same thing, and he's going to say, you never drove either one of them, so shut up. You don't know anything about it. He's going to start that gearhead talk. He's going to start talking about axle ratios and whatever all that other stuff is and all that. And Paul's going to be going. See, not even the Apostle Paul could convince him he's wrong about that. Because that's an opinion that he's had for so long and is deeply rooted. And let's face it, it's not rooted in much. But, okay, Harold, you know what I mean. There's good and there's bad in both, but at least I didn't say a Honda was better, foreign car. So, but the point is, I'm never going to change his opinion about that. So if God ever had an opinion on it, though, it would be tough for God to change that opinion. But if he started his opinion with God, if we got God's opinion on board first, then we formed ours, then we don't have to change out of some bad opinion about something. Are you following me? So what we want to talk about, what we want to ask ourselves is, what does God have to say about free speech? So our government says we have freedom of speech, whatever that means. I want to know, what does God think about that? What does God think about my use of speech? Am I really free to speak as I want? As an American citizen, I am. As a child of God, as a citizen of heaven, that's the question. So let's kind of look at that. So, and by the way, we all have choice, right? God is a favorite. God gives us all choice. He gave Adam and Eve a choice, didn't he? He said, look, don't eat of this tree. But it's your choice. Just understand, there are consequences for whatever you do. Whatever you choose, understand, you get to make your choice. I determine the consequences. That's God's take on it. That's our principle out there. We get to choose our actions, but then as soon as we make that choice, the consequences really are then made for us. That's out of our control. So here we go. So let's talk about this. So let me ask you a question then, as we're going to get into some scripture here. Can you think of any absolute truth that God has made where speech is concerned? In other words, is there anything that God has said? I love you guys. Is there anything that God has said This is an absolute must-have. This is something is not negotiable where speech is concerned. What is it, Leah? She's reading from the book of James, by the way.
Yeah. And on later it says, who can tame the tongue?
Okay. So God said, you need to understand, your tongue is set on fire of hell, actually, is what that passage says. And it says, you know, we can move a whole ship with a tiny little rudder. That's what your tongue does. If you can control your tongue, you can control your whole body. So what is the principle there God is telling us? Summarize the principle. Control what you're saying. Control your tongue. He said, you need to not let something come out of your mouth that you did not purposely let come out. In other words, don't fly off the handle. All right?
It also said not to lie.
Not to lie. There you go. That's kind of where I was thinking was the easy one. And I thought, it kind of is. Yeah, he said, whatever you do, I mean, where does God say don't lie? Does he really say that? Oh, it's one of those thou shalt nots. Oh, it's one of those first 10 things. Yeah, he said, he made it pretty clear. Yeah, it's right there in the middle of the 10 commandments. He said, thou shalt not lie unless it benefits you. Thou shalt not lie unless you are a member of Congress. Thou shalt not lie unless you have a good motive. No, he said, thou shalt not lie, period, right? That's what he said. Let's look at look at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 25. So Paul takes it, it seems like Paul is softening it here in his letter to the church at Ephesus, but I think he's actually taking it to a whole new level, even than thou shalt not lie. He said, therefore, putting away lying. Now, if you put something away, all right, if you put something away, what does that mean? That means you've been playing with it, right? You've been doing something with it. You put your toys away because you've been playing with them. You put your food away because you've been eating it, right? He said, put away lying. He's implying that this is something that you're doing, you need to stop doing. Or this is something that you used to do that you need to stop doing now that you're a child of God. So he said, putting away lying, let each of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. He said, you should speak the truth to everybody because we're all connected here. All right, so one of the absolute essentials that God says, the absolute truth where our speech is concerned, is that we need to tell the truth, period. There's never a time that's okay to lie unless your wife is asking you if she looks okay. God's okay with that. He gets it. No, there's never a time when it's okay to lie. There's never a time when it's okay. He said, I just don't want you to ever lie. I want you to tell the truth. All right, so we find that. Now, how are we supposed to speak then? Look at verse 15 of the same passage. But speaking the truth in love. We talk about this all the time. We're supposed to speak the truth always. But the truth isn't always popular. It's not always popular. That's why we have to do it in love. My wife always looks good. What are you talking about, Beverly? How dare you say that? I cannot believe you said that. She's beautiful all the time. I never have to lie about it. You know, yeah, it's one of those things. We're supposed to speak the truth in love. Let me ask you a question. If you love somebody, will you tell them that hell's real? Yes or no? Yes. Well, of course. But that's not a very nice thing to say. You know, you're going to hell the way you live right now, the way you are right now. But if we love somebody, we have to tell them. But we need to find a way to tell them in love. Make sure they know we love them. This is what parents do when they correct their kids, right? They're supposed to. Speaking the truth in love. All right. So we have these things going on here. Now, so what else does God forbid with speech? Take a look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Now watch this. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. Now, before it ever gets to our mouths, where do we find corrupt words? In our hearts. Out of the abundance of the heart, say it, the mouth speaks, right? So we get them in our head, they go to our heart, and then they go out of our mouths. He said, but let no corrupt words proceed out of your mouth. Now, what is a corrupt word? What does he mean by corrupt words? Well, that's a great question. Paul knew we were going to ask that question, so he went ahead and answered it. He said, but what is good for necessary edification? What does edification mean?
Learning.
It literally means building up. You heard of an edifice? We say this is an edifice. It means it's a building. It's building up. So what he's saying is, you shouldn't say, we should not, first of all, we should never tell a lie. We should always tell the truth. Secondly, our speech should be something that is always building up, not tearing down. Now, may I ask you, in general, when you think about public speaking today, when you picture what you're watching on the news, when you're looking at protests, when you're all these, are they building up or are they tearing down? Those are the questions we should be asking. We shouldn't be asking what color is the skin of the person who's saying it. The color of the skin of the person who's protesting should make no difference whatsoever. The question look at the last part of this. Is it imparting grace to the hearers? Imparting grace. Is it imparting grace? Do you know what it means to impart grace? What does it mean when Jesus imparts grace to us? Talk to me. Come on, youth. I need youth. Huh? Okay, so when Jesus imparts grace to us, it means he looks at us, he sees our sin, he sees our flaws, and he says, I'm going to cover for you. Yes? So if we're going to impart grace to the hearers that we're speaking to, aren't we supposed to be having that same attitude then? I'm going to assume the best in you. What you said just now was so unbelievably stupid, but I'm going to assume you misspoke. I'm going to assume you didn't mean it the way it sounded. Wouldn't it be an amazing thing if instead of saying this person's a racist, they'd say, well, I'm assuming that you misspoke, or I'm assuming you meant something else. You know, instead of saying this person is anti-American, you know, say, I'm assuming you just don't see, you don't hold the same economic model as the way we should be running our country, that kind of thing. Or in church, I'm assuming that you are interpreting this scripture a little differently than I would. Yes, Beverly. Oh, wow. Marriage, yeah. Yeah, right there. Building up instead of tearing down. Imparting grace to the hearers, yeah. It doesn't, you know, speaking harshly with a spouse, speaking in a mean and arrogant, condescending way, that's tearing people down. It's tearing people down. So anyway, the point is, does God care, yes or no? God cares. God cares. Do we have freedom of speech in America to say whatever we want? Yes or no? Yes. But does God feel the same way? God puts some limits on us as his children, where he wants us to come down. He does want us to speak truth, yes? Didn't he say, I want you to speak truth? All the time? All the time. Yes, Leah?
I mean, we have the freedom to, but it's not beneficial. The scripture that says all things are lawful, but not all things are beneficial. So we can choose
Correct.
To speak how we want to.
Yes.
However, correct. What's best for us and everyone else.
That is correct. And that's basically what this verse says. Exactly that. Yeah, he says, not all things are lawful for me, but not all things are expedient or beneficial. And what that means is, you know, just because something, even if something's true, means you may not necessarily need to say it. But we are supposed to speak truth. We're never supposed to tell a lie. But we're supposed to do it in love and so forth. And we're not supposed to do anything to tear down. So this is kind of where, you know, what he's trying to get across for us here. So so really the two things that he said kind of are non-negotiables are that we need to be speaking truth. Our free speech may be free from the American system, but it's not free in his system. What we say has consequences. And sometimes it might be to push people away, push unbelievers away. It might be just to hurt people. It might be to cause division in a family. in a church family. But how do we balance that out, though, with speaking the truth? Because truth needs to be spoken. Right? Truth needs to be spoken. People need to know what's true. So let's look at one more passage here, and then I'm gonna open this up and I'm gonna have you give me some input here. Look at James chapter 3 and verse 9. So again, same book that Leah quoted from a little bit ago. He writes, with it, talking about with our mouths, we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. That means after his likeness, and so on. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. Now, is that a true statement, yes or no?
Yes.
Yeah, for all of us. He said, my brethren, these things ought not so to be. Or to be so. Well, the King James says it differently. My head's filled with King James. Just understand that. That's going to come out. He said, these things ought not to be so. And what he's really saying is, yes, this is how it is, but this is not how it should be. Now, the question then that I want to get into then is, so when we look at what's going on in our world right now, let's take the protests that are happening right now. I want you to forget all about phrases like Black Lives Matter, because that carries a feeling with it. Okay, so put that phrase out of your mind. I want you to put skin color out of your mind. I want you to put your anger at some of the things we've seen recently that were injustices. I want you to put that out of your mind. And let's just talk about, should Christians be a part of protesting a government that they think, when they think there's something wrong? Based on the scripture we've looked at. Yes or no? This crowd is completely split. And that's not a bad thing. But what that means is we're not all on the same page about what God has to say about it. Right? So we need to talk about this. All right, Beverly, you think, yes, we should speak up if we feel like something is wrong in our government. And what do you base that on? Can you touch, at least point to some of the scriptures we've talked about? And what did it say? But you have, I guess that's my point. We need to be able to back up what we think with Scripture. Right? Laura?
I think it's in Romans. God expects us. He expects us to treat our people that are in charge of us.
Okay. Submit yourselves to the authorities over you. For there is no power but of God. They're ordained of God. He said you should consider them to. He said they're not there for your terror. But what if they are a terror? Should our forefathers have rebelled against the King of England when they did?
So
did that? So Jennifer's comment was, a lot of our government is not with God, so, you know, do we have that same responsibility to them?
The
say it loud, Harold. So you're saying if we vote in a stinker that we have to then submit to them? Because you're right. We certainly should do more homework and vet candidates. And by the way, we've done a lousy job of making it too easy for lousy people to win elections. I mean, that's our problem. When you've got a choice between this pile of garbage and this pile of garbage, it's rough. We need to do a better job way before that. But your point is, what is your point, Harold? Because I want to make sure you are represented correctly in what you say. So you want to do your homework before you elect them. Once they're elected, if they turn out to be doing something wrong, then your only recourse is to vote them out?
I think you've got a right to stand on what you feel that they might be doing wrong.
So publicly speak out?
Yes, but there's a proper way to do that.
What is the proper way? So he said, you have a right to speak out, but there's a proper way to do it. What is the, and when I say proper, what is the Christian way to do it? Go ahead. Wait, where do you get, he said, address them personally. Where did you get that principle? That's in the Bible, isn't it? What happened? Say it again. I'm going to say yes. Because I'm trust you. Yeah, it's in there. It's in that area. So Jesus said, if you've got something, if you've got a problem with somebody, you don't go to CNN, you don't go to Fox News, you don't put it on Twitter, you don't put it on Instagram. Look, and I'm talking about either side. I don't care who it is. I don't care if it's a, you know, if it's the you know, the local councilman or the president of the United States. You don't put it on Twitter. Until you have first, go ahead. Say it. Read it.
If your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault just between the two of you.
Just between the two of you. Great point. If that doesn't work, what's the next? Two or three. You take somebody with you. Say it again. Yeah. Okay, that's the scripture. So take more so that the matter can be established. And if that doesn't work, then take it to Twitter. No, take it to the church. But how do you take an issue with a politician to the church?
How do you take an issue with a politician to a politician who can't get there?
Well, and again, I know we're talking about idealized things. You know, you can't just call up. You know, you're probably not going to get, you know, the Speaker of the House on the phone or the President or the Vice President or anybody else. You're probably not. I get that. But his point is, well, but there is a right way to do things. Yeah, you can send that. So we're back to protest, though. So is there a time when a protest, a public, what was the wording, the assembling, to peacefully protest? What's that proper way? We're out of time, but. Where did you see that?
It was on the news in a restaurant where I was picking up a DoorDash order.
Was it the mainstream channel? Did it get picked up by the AP and sent out to all of? I doubt it. Well, that's the problem. You get a snippet there. So yeah, the point is we don't have access to all of that. But the point is well made. There is a right way to go about. There is a right way to use speech. What we're trying to do, what we have to do is try to figure out how do we balance out speaking truth, because sometimes we need to speak truth in order to protect the people that we're supposed to protect. Remember, we started all this by, do I have a responsibility? Do Christians have a responsibility to protect the world that does not have access to truth? And when I say truth, can I borrow your Bible? Please, because I only brought my iPad, and I feel guilty. I should start bringing a Bible because I feel guilty doing this. It's God's Word, but see, we have this, right? So we have a responsibility to a world that doesn't have this, to speak truth to them. And the trick is, how do we do that in love? But we do have that responsibility because we are responsible for our brother. We're responsible for the world around us. So, you know, as we looked at, you know, and again, time went by very, very quickly tonight. We'll probably continue this. Where I'm just basically taking the what we're talking about, these current issues. I'm taking the as they appear in our Bill of Rights. You know, we'll continue this next week. We may move on into. So, what is our right to defend ourselves? What is God's view on us defending ourselves in our homes? What is God's view about, am I responsible to defend my neighbor? Am I responsible to speak in a way, you know, in somebody's defense? I mean, that's really what, isn't that the motive behind Black Lives Matter? Isn't, at least the spoken motive? I don't really think it, I'll be honest with you, I think that's been held hostage by a group that's got another agenda. But the root issue, isn't it a multi-skin colored group of people saying, we've got a responsibility to protect this group of people because we feel like they're not being treated fairly. But Harold's, as we said, there's a, and you can tell. You can tell when the agenda's wrong by what? You can tell by the fruit. Because doesn't the Bible say you can judge a tree by its fruit? Violence is not going to, in fact, you know what? We've got to look at this one verse. I've got to show you James 1:19. Let's look at James 1:19 and we'll go. And that's not it. Colossians 4:6. Watch this. This will launch us into next week. Did I not put that in there? Can you pull that up? Colossians 4:6. You see, God is going to give us a principle here where basically he's going to say, there's something that's not going to necessarily show the righteousness of God. See if you can get that. Who's got that? Ben, you got that? Just read that real loud, would you please?
Sure. It says, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man.
Ought to know how to answer every man. Okay? He said, let your speech be always with grace. In fact, next week we'll probably look at a verse that talks about how you can't show the righteousness of God unless you speak properly. We'll kind of go there next week as we continue this. And so the whole point here is that we need to be very careful about the things we say and how we say them. But also, as children of God, we have a responsibility to say some things. We have a responsibility to be vocal about some things. But let's make sure that we're on God's page before we start doing it. Because otherwise, we end up sounding like some of these quotes. Some of these really dumb things. All right. I love